we happen to run into what they call firsts all the time. And this is a first. Of course, I've been to Guthrie without Rebecca a few times the last few years, but this is the first time I've ever preached without her being by my side, so to speak. And one brother said one time, he got up, I think it was here, and he was used to his father being scotching for him, so to speak, and he said, "Pray for me, Dad's not here." Well, Rebecca's not over there, so I need extra prayer. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. I want to talk on a subject that I think is good to stir up our pure minds occasionally. And we basically do this every day. At least I hope we do. I do anyway. Start reading here, 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's start reading about the 15th verse. "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us." I want to zero in on the 18th verse. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Thanksgiving. How thankful are we this morning? How thankful are we every day of the week? Every moment of every day, so to speak. Are we as thankful as we ought to be? The Lord done a lot for us. We wouldn't sit in heavenly places had it not been for Christ Jesus. We wouldn't have the blessings we had if it wasn't for Him. For His working, His calling, His dealing, His working with us over and over. It takes Him. Listen, folks, all of our happiness, all of our peace, all of our joy, everything that we have is centered in one individual, so to speak, because He paid a high price and gave us everything that He had to bring about something that is glory to you and I. And for that, you and I ought to be thankful this morning. We ought to be thankful for God, to Christ, because of what He done. Listen, He paid the highest price. And that one time, and I've said it already in this meeting, when He gave me that vision in Oregon that time, and He looked straight at me, and I was looking at Him in an arched doorway, and He said, "I died for you, child." That let me know that this salvation was not only for the world, but it was a very personal, extra personal salvation that He gave His life, that if I was the only one on earth that was alive and was headed to hell, He gave His very life and shed His blood for me and me only. And He done that for every one of us. And so consequently, we need to have a personal salvation and a personal thanksgiving salvation to Jesus Christ for what He's done for you and I. The 95th chapter of Psalms. Hello, well, yeah, 95 and 1. "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God." Praise God. "He's a great King above all gods, and in His hand are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry ground. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Usually when you and I come together into a service like this, usually one of the first things we do is sing. We open up our services with singing. Spend time. And you know, there are some real blessings in those song services. How many times in the years have you come together and maybe been a little discouraged or a little down or whatever, and that song service would just lift you up, and maybe a certain song would start speaking to you and talking to you and working with you and giving you exactly what you needed and so forth. Or maybe there that you saw a special understanding in a song that you had never gotten. And the blessings rolled. We were in Oklahoma City, been many years ago, and sitting there, and they called 179 one morning. What a friend, heard it sang many times through the years, but this particular morning, the Lord began to minister to my soul in that song, and began to feed me and challenge me, and the tears were streaming, and the blessings were flowing, and I was thanking God that He gave me some insight and helped me to see things about that song I had never seen before. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, song service is a special service. Old Brother Lewis William, most of you here didn't even know that old brother, but he'd stand up here in the front, he'd smile that big old smile, he'd say there's a message in every song, praise God. He'd start out the way we'd go, and the glory did roll, praise God, over and over and over, because of the blessings, the presence of the Almighty God, and Jesus would come down and bless us in song service, praise the Lord. I appreciate the singing of the saints. There was a funeral one time in Shawnee. Oh, it's been, I've been there maybe a couple of years. It was a husband and wife got killed together in a car wreck. So it was a double funeral. And they had some people singing there. And there was a group, a quartet. And they had they wasn't playing any music, but they had a whatever thing going with music. And they were singing along, and all I could hear was the music pretty well. I couldn't hear the singing much. And something happened, and they had to turn the music way down. When they got it down, I could hear the singers, and I thought, you know, they can sing pretty good. They can sing pretty good. It was a good thing. I'm thankful today for a cappella singing. I'm thankful we don't have a lot of racket up here and a lot of instruments and pianos and organs and all that. Listen, folks, a cappella singing is the best singing in the world. And not only that, but you can thank, you can meditate, you can get good out of the song because you're not getting blown out of your seat by the music, so to speak. I'm not saying music don't have a place at all in anything. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying the saints have the most precious, most beautiful, and the reason is because the Lord anoints, He gets in there, He blesses, He works, and we open up our songs and we get a blessing over and over from that. You get Monarch fired up and you get the anointing rolling, you can hear it probably a mile away. It said, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us come before His presence. I think the wise thing to do when we approach God is to approach Him in thanksgiving. I start out my prayers with thanksgiving. I approach Him in thanksgiving. I think it's wise to do that myself. And one of the first things I thank Him for is salvation. He saved my soul, praise God. He's done something nobody else could do or could do. Like I said a while ago, Daddy had money. He had new cars for Christmas and all kind of things. But bless God, today I have a great plan of salvation and a Thanksgiving day and every moment of every day because of Jesus Christ. It wasn't my father, it wasn't my mother, and they were very good to me when they adopted me. They took good care of me. They gave me a lot of things. But Jesus has given me everything, praise God. And I'm thankful today for that. Oh, one time at Christmas time, we were there and I was thinking about people got that song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And I got to thinking about salvation that's been brought down. And I got to thinking about that song, and I'm going to tell you, I got so blessed. It has been one of my favorite songs since then. I even had it a ringtone on one of my phones, and one of the brothers in this congregation said, Carl, I wish you would take that off. He helped in the building project, and every time my phone would ring, salvation had been brought down. He said, I wish you'd stop that. I got news for you. I loved it. I loved it. I really was blessed with that song. The Smith family sang it. And I was blessed with it. It was number one songs in South Carolina. We sang it out there a lot. And I love that song, Salvation Has Been Brought Down. Oh, thank the Lord for salvation this morning. Is there anything any better, so to speak, that and sanctification? Oh, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. I thank Him for salvation. I thank Him for sanctification. I thank Him for His grace. I thank Him for His power. I thank Him for His love. I thank Him for His mercy. Because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here and you wouldn't either. It is the power of Jesus Christ that has kept me and brought me through. It's the comforting power of God at this time in my life that is helping me. He's touched me. He's blessed me. He's worked with me over and over and over. I was praying one morning the day before Easter. And in that I was praying. I don't know what caused it to happen, but all of a sudden I could hear Rebecca's voice singing in my mind. She loved the song, Christ Arose. Yes. And she loved to sing it around Easter time, and she sang it passionately. Amen. And she would get into that song, and I loved to listen to her. Cynthia made a statement one day, I was talking to her, she said, well, Dad, she liked to drag me into it. Well, when them two got together, we really had some singing then. And so Becky was singing that, and I could hear her actual voice in my mind. I just started sobbing. I sobbed for a while as I knelt there. I finally got my composure a little bit, got up, and it started again, and I lost it again. I got my composure after a little while, and it started again. And I think it was either the third time or the fourth time that the Lord spoke to me. And He said, she should sing it on the other side. And when He said that, then I got a vision in my mind of all of heaven's glory, all the saints singing Christ Arose to Jesus, and that was really comforting to my heart, really comforting to my mind to know that. Today, thank Him for salvation, sanctification, love, His mercy, His pity, His compassion, His grace, His help, His comfort, His power, His glory. Thank Him today, every day. Listen, saints, we don't have a Thanksgiving Day just one day of the year. We have it 365 days a year, praise God. Thank the Lord for salvation this morning. Let us come before His presence. Is that the way you approach Him with thanksgiving?
Yeah.
I appreciate what our brother David said, our nephew. He said, I want to thank Him for the little things. There's little things that come along and there's big things.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, I think it's a blessing to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. When you boil that word bless down there, it also means to glorify God. To glorify God. I think it blesses God and glorifies God when He thanks Him for the little things. That lets Him know we're not forgetting anything when we thank Him for the little things. So Lord, help us this morning. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's go to the Mark, the 8th chapter. Mark, the 8th chapter and the 6th verse. And He commanded the people to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves and He gave thanks. And He broke and He gave to His disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes. And He blessed and He commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. They took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. And He sent them away. John 11:41. Let's look there right quick. Well, no, let's comment on this. Then I'll go to John. He said that He commanded the people to sit down and He took the 7 loaves and He gave thanks. Now, this is Jesus. He set an example before us. He gave thanks Himself before He ate, before He performed a miracle there. Can you imagine having a few faults, if I can talk, a few small fishes, and what wasn't it a little bit of bread or something he had in that one part he talks about, and he commanded, he gave thanks and he commanded, and that fed 4,000 people. What a miracle, folks.
Amen.
What a miracle. This was no small thing. This was a big thing, a big miracle. And Jesus gave thanks. He gave thanks to the Father. John 11 and 41. Talking about Lazarus here.
Amen.
I start reading about the... Well, let's go 35. 11, 35, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should have not died? Or should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. And Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me.
Amen.
And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound both hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus raised the dead. Before he done it, though, he said here... He said, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, Father. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He was thanking God before the miracle. Now, I believe one saint in here made a statement one time in this meeting that they were not feeling well, I believe it was, and the Lord, did you say the Lord told you to thank him? You had that headache, I believe it was, for 3 or 4 days and whatever. Well, when we were on our honeymoon, and some have heard me tell this, but I'm going to tell it again. I got sick. That is no fun to be sick on your honeymoon. And we were in Nashville, Tennessee, and I started getting sick, had a high fever, or a pretty high fever, and I wasn't really sick any other way, but basically a high fever, and I felt horrible. I was nauseated, I didn't have any other problem, but I had a high fever, and I felt bad. Well, we slept through the night that night, and Becky was worried about me, and next morning she got up, she made some calls, and got people back here in Guthrie praying and different things, and then she set out to pray, and while she was praying, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, thank God for healing. And I go, I'm not well. And he goes, thank the Lord for healing. I said, Lord, I'm not well. And Becky's praying. Now, my sweetie pie was praying. She started... And went all the way around the world, so to speak, and she prayed for me last. So be it. It worked anyway. But I kind of got amused there. She was praying for everybody but her husband. I was the one that's sick, you know. So while she was praying, the Lord was talking to me, and she got through. And I said, dear, I said, I want you to get the Bible. And I quoted 2 or 3 scriptures, and I had her read 2 or 3 scriptures. Then I said, I want you to lay hands on me and pray. And we did that. And while she was praying, I was inspired again. Thank God for healing. Now, this was before I felt any better, before I was still just as sick as I'd been. But I felt like the Lord wanted me to thank God for healing. Now, this is faith, folks. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You and I need to reach out in thanksgiving to God with a powerful faith, grasping the commandments and the promises of God, and getting a hold of that and thanking the Lord for that healing. And that, I've had this work other times, not just that particular time. I've seen it used and done different times down through the years, where we would be praying around a sick person or whatever, and all of a sudden somebody would get inspired, and they would start thanking the Lord for healing that person, blessing that person, helping that person. And when the prayer, that particular prayer was finished, the Lord had touched him. Because you're taking it by faith.
Yes.
So, the Lord touched me. I started thanking the Lord when Rebecca Ann was praying and thanking Him. I said, Lord, thank You for touching me. Thank You for touching me. And the Lord began to touch me. I kept thanking Him. I got up out of bed, got dressed, and we began to go about sightseeing and had breakfast. And I don't know what all went to the Hermitage and different things. And the more I thanked, the better I got. And I appreciate what the Lord did. That was my first lesson like that in 1983, May, about the 8th or 9th of May, 1983, 30 years ago. Jesus here is thanking the Father for raising Lazarus before he's ever come out of the tomb. Young people, you need to get an experience with God and be able to reach out just like that.
That's right.
Reach out like that. Get a hold of the promises. Be able to thank the Lord for healing. This is faith, folks. When you and I, Brother Gordon preached on have faith in God yesterday, and that's fine. We want to have faith in God. That's having faith in God. When you reach out and grasp the promises by faith and thank the Lord for something you don't have, He can give it to you right then. Praise God. And that's what Jesus was doing here. All right, let's go to Luke, the 17th chapter. I believe this is where the 17th chapter of Luke and the 12th verse. Well, 11. 17 and 11. Came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, and with a loud voice he glorified God, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said to him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Leprosy was a very dreaded thing back then. It still is, I guess. And so consequently, these men, they were lepers. Maybe they had heard about Christ and what He could do. And they stood afar off. They was leper colonies, I guess you'd call it, or places where they had them outside the city. And where they couldn't even really mix and mingle, if I'm not mistaken, with the people, because this stuff was contagious. And so consequently, they stood afar off, but they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They were crying out, all 10 of them. And you can imagine how much, if they were crying very loud, how much attention this would get. It got the Lord's attention. You can get his attention too, just one of you. Don't have to take 10 of you. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. He healed them right there. But here's the thing. This is the saddest part of this. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice, he glorified God. He thanked God for what the Lord had done. He fell down on his feet and he given him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. He would be the least most likely one to do it. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Are you one of the 1? Are you one of the 9? Lord, help us to be the 1. We can get in sometimes in some tight places with people. And what I mean by that, things are going on. We were in a home back in Idaho, I think. I don't remember for sure. It's been too many years. And Becky was working on the Searle history book. And there's a lot of things that probably the Searle family don't even know that her and I went through. We went through cemeteries looking for gravestones. And we stopped here and went there to get information and to tie all this together. And we was in this home with people we didn't even know, folks. And it was cold outside and so forth. They were very generous to us, made us a meal, kept us overnight. And when we were sitting in there and it got time for the food, and they wasn't wanting to say grace at all. And I could tell right away they wasn't. And I spoke up and I said, would it be all right if we asked Thanksgiving for the food? Whatever said. Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, you can get in a tight place sometimes just like that. And I could have went along. I could have said nothing. But if they'd learned later I was a preacher, what would they have thought? You know, people look at you and they consider you, and a minister is in a fishbowl anyway, so to speak. I mean, he's watched by everybody nearly. But I just asked them very sweetly and politely, so to speak, could we say thanks for the food? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Young people, Lord help us, that you be one of the 10. That when you get in a tight spot, you go, can we thank the Lord for the food? Or maybe there's some discussion, maybe things have happened, and you speak up and you say, well, I'd like to thank God for what He's done for me. Praise God. Let it be known that Jesus is the one that saved you and blessed you and done things for you. Let it be known that you belong to Him. I'm going to say you get tight sometimes, young people. The peer pressure. You're not always at Guthrie. You're not always at La Ronger. You're not always at Monarch. Oh, it's easy to live for God when the glory's rolling. But I'm going to say you get tight out there when there ain't nobody around but you and the pressure's on. Lord, help you to have enough thanksgiving. That girl in the Columbine High School shootings a number of years ago, he pointed the gun at her. And I think he said something, are you a Christian or whatever? And she spoke up and let it be known that she loved God and she lived for Him, something like that, and he shot her dead. That's pressure. That's real pressure. And there is people that buckle under that kind of pressure. Young people, I love you this morning. And I want to challenge you from the depths of my soul that when the pressure's on, to say, yes, sir, I'm a saint of God. Praise God. Amen. I live for Him. I love Him. And if you pull that trigger and shoot me, that's all right. I'll just automatically go on to heaven. And we could get in that kind of pressure sometimes. So Lord, help us to be able to thank God for salvation in front of whoever it might be. The president, a congressman or a senator, friends or whatever, people that don't know you. I met a man. We were school chums starting at 11 years old. That was my age. He's just a tad bit older than me, Robert is. We hadn't seen each other in quite a few years, and Becky and I was car shopping, and we was at this dealership, and I was standing there talking and with a salesman, and Rebecca was there, and three of us talking. All of a sudden, I heard this man go, Carl! So I turned and looked, and here come Robert running down this kind of sidewalk there in front of this building. And we embraced one another and shook hands, and how you doing? How you doing? We was talking and so forth. And one of the first questions you a lot of times get to when you ain't seen each other in a long time, what are you doing? Well, what I say, I'm a preacher. And there's things like that. Sometimes people, and young people, like I said, you can be, and I don't want to zero in on the young people. I'm not meaning to pick on you, but I was there at 18 too. And I want to encourage you when they ask you and pressure you and whatever, let them know I'm a saint of God, and I go to the Church of God chapel, I'm with the saints, and let it be known who you are. Well, I told Robert what I was, what I did, where I lived. Oh, I know where you live. I drive by your house every day. And it's because his business was just south of mine, about 7 miles, I guess. And so he drove right by my house. There wasn't nothing said. I mean, we talked a little bit, and then Becky and I left. And we went, oh, this was May, if I remember right. And right around the 4th of July weekend, he kept pulling up in our driveway. And I was in the garage working on a car, doing something. And Becky come out there, and she pushed the garage door and opened the garage door up. And there stood Robert. Said, Carl, he wants to talk to you about something. And Robert looked at me, and he goes, Carl, he said, do you do funerals? And I said, yeah, I do funerals. And he said, Mama died. My mother died, and I want you to preach her funeral. And I was so shocked and stunned, but it didn't take long for everything to come in focus. I had known this woman, see, since I was 11 years old. He wanted somebody that had lived in the area, the Witcher area. He wanted the preacher to know her, wanted him to know the people around, wanted him to know everything about the situation. And he told me later, or maybe that day, he said when I went home, he told his wife, Kathy, he said, Kathy, I found the man who preached my mama's funeral. And he explained to her. And we got the privilege of doing that. And got to see old friends and so forth. But again, you and I can get into pressure sometimes. But we need to be thankful. We need to, when we're letting it know who we are and what the Lord has done, that is being thankful for what God has done for us. So Lord, help us to do that. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4 and 4. This kind of goes along with what I done said a while ago. Sometimes preachers get ahead of their scriptures a little bit. Well, let's go 4 and 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer.
Yes, amen.
You're in a restaurant. It's crowded. Just you and a friend or two.
Yes.
Be real easy not to say thanks. Not to thank the Lord for the food. Be real easy to do that.
Yes.
What do you do? I know of one case where I believe it was some young people, and I don't remember where it was at, but they were in there, and they bowed their heads, and it caught the attention of somebody there in the restaurant, and that person went up and paid the whole bill for their food just because they thanked God for the food. Just because they had a reverence and an awe to God to be respectful and thank Him. Listen, folks, everything we got, our food, everything comes from God, and we need to thank God for that. You can't thank God enough for what you have. You cannot thank Him enough for what you have. Mark that down in your little red book. You can't thank Him enough. You can start with a spiritual aspect, but listen, everything I have come from Jesus Christ. What little money I got in the bank, my home, my cars, and everything, and my daughters, all of it come from God. And we need to thank Him. You need to thank Him if you're eating beans and cornbread. You need to thank Him if you're eating a cattleman's steak. I'm well known for cattleman's steak. Got to preach about it too much. I like it. Best steakhouse in the country, as far as my mind is. And I've been a lot of places, eat a lot of steak from coast to coast. I say a lot, quite a few. But we need to thank Him, whether it be the high dollar or whether it be just common food, so to speak. Thank the Lord for that. Let's go to Romans 1. Time's getting away on me here. Romans 1. I hadn't got down to where I want to get yet. Romans 1 and 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. I'm going to tell you today it's time to thank the Lord for the saints of God. I'm thankful for the people of God. I'm thankful for the saints. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. Read right, get in the right spot. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Are you as thankful for the saints as you ought to be? Thank the Lord for the church of God. Amen? Amen? We need to thank the Lord for one another. We are the, by the blood of Jesus Christ and the sanctifying power of the Holy Ghost, the saints of God are the finest, most wonderful people in the whole world. They can't be beat. And you can get tried at them sometimes. You can get hurt at them sometimes. But when you boil it all down, they're still the best. Been there, done that. But I'm still thankful for the church of God. Still thankful. I've been stabbed in the back. I've been shot at. I felt like they wanted to throw a party and dance in the street because they thought they had me down and out. But I'm still appreciate the saints of God. They're the people, and I appreciate that. Thank the Lord for the saints this morning. All right, let's go to Ephesians 5 and 20. I don't want to preach so long I don't get down to what I really want to talk about. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then back to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, my text. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then 1 Peter 5 and 10. 1 Peter 5 and 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. In everything, give thanks. Now then, we've been talking on the positive side. Let's go to the negative side. Can we thank God if we lost our car in a car wreck? And it had no insurance on it. Now, that's not supposed to be that way according to the laws of Oklahoma, probably Missouri, Kansas, and Texas. But let's say there was no insurance and you were wiped out and you had no money in the bank to buy another car. Can you get on your knees and thank God for that? Lord, help us. See, these things, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everything that touches us has got to go through Christ first, and He orders everything that has surrounded our lives. With Job, the devil had to go to Jesus before he could even touch Job. He's got to go to Christ and God before He can even touch you. And before things can happen, and the Lord allows things to come our way to help us, to settle us, to establish us, to strengthen us, and to do things for us. And consequently, when the negative is things, as I'm going to call them, come, you and I need to be thankful for that. I laid down in the bed the other night, and I thank God that I had Rebecca almost 30 years. Now, one morning, I was crying and pleading, driving home, sobbing. Well, I don't know if I was sobbing so much, but I was crying pretty heavy. And I said, Lord, you took her at too young an age. Wasn't even 60. And I was going back and forth and crying, and the Lord spoke to me this. And this was another comforting time. He said, age does not matter to me. What counts is eternity. And I got a hold of that, and the tears began to dry up. She was in heaven, is in heaven. She has got what she lived for. It doesn't matter, Carl Schaefer, if she was not 60 or 65 or 70, if you didn't have her 30 years, I've got what I call for, and that is her soul. I worked with her, I fashioned her, I prepared her, I've got her all set. She lived for me, she died for me, she lived her whole life from a teenager up until she was nearly 60 years old to go to heaven. And listen, Carl Schaefer, that's the main thing right there. In everything, give thanks, Carl.
Praise the Lord.
The tears may flow, but I'm thankful that I was married to her just under 30 years. I'm thankful for a wonderful marriage. One minister's wife told me here the other day, I was calling for her husband and he was gone. And she said, well, she said, of all the bad marriages in the world, he had to take Rebecca. You had a wonderful marriage, you had to take your wife. Well, in everything give thanks. In the deal with the age, I got to looking at it totally different after that. When one cousin told me, Chuck was only 57, Carl, when he died. When Sister Carol told me, I believe Brother Paul was only 46 when he died. A man that died connected with the Golden Rule home lately, I think he was 52 or 53. So that got my mind up and out. We need to be thankful for the hard places, for the negative things, so to speak, for those things that you're not just jumping and shouting over, so to speak, but the things that really are hard. If our home would burn, if our cars were destroyed, if we lost money in something or whatever it might be, we need to thank the Lord for those things because these are the things that the Lord allows to come our way to settle us, to strengthen us, to establish us, and to work with us. And listen, folks, if we didn't have the hard places to rub us and perfect us, we'd be spoiled after a while. We've got to have the hard places with the good. Job went through some of the hardest things. He lost everything. He lost everything. But the Lord gave him back twice of what he had. Young people, some of you may go through a heartbreak. Approach a girl, her girl have a guy, and they break up with you. You lose that relationship. Been there, done that. The pain is there. The tears are there. But I got news for you. The Lord has other people out there that you can marry. And maybe that was not the right individual. Maybe that person was a good person. But maybe they weren't just the exact one that the Lord wanted you to have. Maybe you were a little bit mistaken. We need to thank the Lord for that experience. Sickness. If you live long enough, you're going to be sick. You may have major sickness. You may have pain so much you can't hardly stand it. We need to thank the Lord for the sicknesses that we have. Thank God for the sicknesses. The pain, the suffering. Again, those are the things that after you've suffered a while make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The God of all grace who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus after that you've suffered a while. You're going to suffer. But we need to thank the Lord for the suffering.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for the heartbreaks. These are the things that when people watch you, And they see you go through these things. And you come out with the victory. And they see how the Lord is settling you and establishing you and strengthening you and blessing you. That blesses them. That lifts them. That encourages them. Listen, young folks, you may think you're just blessing the young folks. No, you're blessing some of us elderly ones too. I don't count myself old, but I ain't as young as I used to be neither. And so consequently, those things bless us. You say, oh, it's hard. Just come to us. We'll get down and pray with you. Let us know. We'll fast and pray. Whatever we need to do to back you. Had one person, when I went through one thing, Brother Leslie mentioned Sister Marie Miles the other day. She knew what I was going through, and she sat down and she wrote me a 6-page letter explaining exactly what she had been through and how she had dealt with it and how she worked with it. And she told me what I could do and how to do it and everything. And I tell you, I was so blessed to the fact that she just took the time to write this poor little fellow. And then all the advice she gave me, I could use it. I could be blessed by it. I could be happy with it. Even though I was crying, even though I was hurting, even though I didn't feel it was right, I tell you, the bottom line was still she took time to minister to me and so forth. She was much older than I was. I don't know what it was. That figure the age. But anyway, I was in my early 20s, I guess, because that was in 70. Since 79, 78 or 79. Yeah, somewhere along there. I'd have been 20-something years old. And she was much older than me. But she used her experience. Listen, young folks, pull off of us that have gone through some things. We're here for you. We want to help you. We want to see you be blessed. We want to see you be thankful, too. We want to see you reach out and thank the Lord. If you need our prayers, if you need our support, we want to be there for you. There have been people sometimes have lost their homes, burned up. Been people been in a car accident, just like yesterday. Those are the hard places. But when we thank the Lord for those things, that is a blessing God, telling Him, Lord, we love You, we thank You, we appreciate what You're doing. Yeah. Now then, what about, let's go another angle of this, what about somebody being blessed with a new car and you've got an old junker out there? Maybe they got two new cars and you've got an old junker out there. Can you thank the Lord for that? Can you thank the Lord? Lord, thank You for blessing them. They come in riding in their nice, shiny, brand new Chevrolet, Chrysler, Ford, and you're just barely making it. There was one brother one time needed a travel trailer, I believe it was. And another brother minister that they were close and loved one another, the Lord blessed him. He got two travels. And so it bothered the one. He admitted it bothered him a little bit, but he prayed about it. And he said, honey, we're going to go and we're going to rejoice with him over two travel trailers, and we need one ourselves. That's what he did. And the one that had two gave the one that had none, and both of them had one then, praise God. Oh, today, folks, in everything, give thanks. If we get of a thankful heart and spirit and mind, the Lord can bless you and I beyond what we can ask or think. If we pour it out, if we thank the Lord for them, or thank the Lord directly what He's doing for us in the hard places, the Lord can bless us tremendously. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How thankful are we today? How thankful are we? What are we going through? How hard of places are we in that we need to be thankful for? the Lord. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews. And I hadn't written this one down. I hadn't even thought about it till now. Yeah, wait a minute. Let me find it. Yeah, here it is. 12 and 2. 12 and 2 of Hebrews. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now then, I don't know that I've ever thought of it this way, and I may be a little off here, but you help me if I am. It said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What was that joy? Exactly. Looking down through the annals of time, and Jesus was seeing what he was fixing to do, what the plan of salvation was going to do, the church that triumphant that was going to march and be robed in robes of white, the glory that was going to bless them, the meetings they were going to have, the souls that were going to be saved and sanctified, and the glory that was going to roll from all of that. Jesus looking down through time, and there was a joy. Now, I could be wrong, but don't you think he was thankful about this time for what he was fixing to go through, what he was going to do, was going to do something, praise God, that had never been done, and consequently, Jesus had a joy and a thanksgiving about him. Thank you, Father, that I can do this, praise God. I have set myself from the foundation of the world to be an offering unto sin and salvation. Unto sin for salvation. And consequently, Father, we're here right now. And it's a glory that I see. Thankful, see. He's fixing to suffer. He's fixing to have those nails that Brother Leslie talked about put in the hands and in the feet. He's fixing to hang on that old cross. He's fixing to go through what he's going through. But the bottom line is he's thankful because he sees what he's going to do for mankind. Praise God. Nobody else had stepped forward and done it. Nobody else had even attempted it. But the Father and the Son had talked it over, worked out the plan, set it in place. And now we're right down at the end. And the devil tried to stop it over and over and over from the very birth of Christ all the way to the time in the garden. He had fought it. He had tried to stop it. Everything he could, and Jesus is just getting the victory over and over and over, and now that he's down in the place of glory, praise God, and thank you, Father. Oh, the joy that I'm going to give because of my offering of myself, thank the Lord. The joy. I'm thankful, Father. You have helped me, you've been with me, you have blessed me, you've been right there. We can have called 12 legions of angels. But no, Jesus was willing by the help of the Father to keep going right on through. They worked so hand in hand and such a team together and so unified and so forth that even though they were going through the hard places and they were right down to this, there was a joy and a thanksgiving. Now then, we're going to have our crosses. And there is going to be people that are going to be watching you. And they're going to say, watch you go through it. They're going to watch you have that cross. They're going to watch the extremely hard place that you're suffering. And if they can see you, lift up your voice in thanksgiving. Those martyrs on the cross back there, or on the when they were tied to the stake, and the fires were going, or when they were out in the arena and the lions were ripping and those people were watching. There was multitudes of people, I believe, touched down through the time because of those people that was thanking God and praising God and rejoicing to God for what He had done for them, even though they were burning at the stake or fixed to be consumed by the lion or whatever, they were there and people were looking on as they were getting help. Listen, folks, we may not know who all we might help because we're thankful and reaching out and standing firm and doing what we need to do. Your life can be a touching and a shining place where people and say, they know that I can too, praise God. Because you were thankful. You were thankful. Yes. You hung in there. You done what needed to be done. And they get a blessing out of your life. Young to the old to the young, the in-between. Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse. Be careful for nothing but in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Let's see what the translation says on this right quick. I may be wrong on this. Be careful for nothing, and nothing be anxious. Let no care trouble you. Do not worry about anything. Entertain no worry. But by prayer and earnest pleading together with thanksgiving, let your request be unreservingly made known before God. But by prayer and earnest pleading, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You could read this. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. You could leave the words with thanksgiving totally out of that scripture. But it wouldn't have the meaning it does with it in there. So, in nothing be anxious. Let no care trouble you. Lord, help us. Have you ever lost sleep over anything? There have been many times, and I don't know if Brother James has ever had this problem. And I thought I was the only little carpenter on the Gillenback install crew that done this, but there have been times that we were fixing to do something and I wasn't totally sure about it, and I spent hours unsleeping, thinking, meditating, being sure I could figure it out before I challenged it the next day. You ever do that, Brother James? So you lost some sleep, huh? Well, one brother that's much, much better carpenter than I am, he and I were rooming together, or maybe we're just on a job together anyway. He said, you know, I've lost a lot of sleep on these jobs. I thought, I'm not the only one, huh? There's some concern there. There is something you're a little anxious. What people don't know that on some of those shops we used to put in, there was some mighty high pressure on them by the store. And we had to try to be cool, calm, and collected right in the midst of the fire, so to speak. And there was times that it'd be a little bit hard maybe not to lose some sleep, maybe not be a little anxious and so forth. It always worked out. If nothing else, we always called Brother Dan or Brother Philip, and they always walked us through it. But by prayer and earnest pleading, together with thanksgiving, let your request be unreservedly made known before God. Lord, help us to do that. All right, 1 Corinthians 15, in closing. Now at the end of the chapter, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We should never. I am what I am by the grace of God. I am not anything in myself, never have been, never will be. But I am here today with you because of His grace and His power given to me down through the years. And my victories and my triumphs, it's been through Jesus Christ. It's been through Him. The things that I've been able to accomplish and so forth, all of it, put it down, boil it down, however you want to say it, lay it on the table. All of it's because of Christ. Amen. I don't claim any of it in the fact that I've done it myself. It's all been the Lord. We need to thank the Lord today for those victories. Now, Brother David was mentioning the little things. Well, there's little victories and there's medium victories, so to speak. There's big victories. We need to thank the Lord for all of them. Because Jesus, You blessed me. You helped me. You strengthened me. You encouraged me. You picked me up. The old General Salmon said one time that he hit upon a deal. He was fairly young in the Lord at that time. I don't even know if he was sanctified at that point or not. I've heard him mention this a lot of times. But anyway, he had gotten disappointed in somebody. And it had discouraged him. And he was going down. He literally said his experience was dropping. And he said the Lord, it was like He caught him in a bag and He held him up about 3 foot off the floor and just held him there till he could get himself back. And he said then something was said or whatever, and the Lord began to bless and work, and he began to come out of it. It was the Lord, see. Listen, folks, the Lord may do things for you and you may not even totally know what all He's doing. So Lord, help us today to be thankful for the victory that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid an awful price. And He said, He said, let us therefore come boldly in the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. He's right there sitting on the right hand of God doing everything that needs to be done. And if He needs to, He can stand up for us. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's our advocate. He is the one that helps us, that blesses us, that works with us. 2 Corinthians 2 and 14. And this will be the last scripture. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Now thanks be unto God which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always. So it's not us, is it? It's the Lord. It's His grace. It's His power. It's Him, period. He's the one that gives us the victory that we've got. I'm thankful for what I have. I'm thankful for the Lord, what He has done. How about you?
Amen.
I appreciate the fact that He's kept me for over 40 years. And I've had the privilege of being with you all these years.
Yeah.
Knowing you. I told somebody here, well, I've told several people, not just one. When we found out how serious this was, and I don't really remember the day. I remember it was a Monday. I remember that brother right there was the first one I called. And I said, Brother Leslie, I said, do you know that Rebecca has something serious enough that it will kill her if the Lord don't do something? He goes, no, I didn't know. From that point, for the next day or two, I call ministers, text ministers, and let them know. From that deal, the rally cry began. The fasting began. The praying began. The cards come. The visits were made. And, well, like I said, I don't remember what. I remember the Monday, but I don't remember what the date was. If it was right after we found out, that would have been about the 11th or 12th of November. She died January 21st. And then the time that's been since then, 4 months. I don't feel worthy for what y'all have done. The saints have been more than wonderful. They've been, well, I can't even get a word good enough. In all that you've done, the man that we had take care of the funeral, as far as the funeral home, we've known him and worked with him for several years. We had already discussed what we wanted to do several years ago. Before she ever died, before I ever died, whatever. I was planning me to go first. I had it all set that way. And Todd told me, he said, Carl, he said, you'll be fine. He said, you have a tremendous support behind you. One of the first funerals he'd done was Sister Dora Doolittle. And he'd done my mama's, and he'd done I don't know how many more before he lost out and started his own funeral home up in Wellston. And he had watched. He was very impressed with the Doolittle family and very impressed with every one of the saints that he had ever met and had contact with. He said, "You have a tremendous support. You'll make it. You will make it." When he presented me the bill, I looked at it. Donna Beth was on my right here, and we're sitting there. And I said, "Todd, I said, I have no insurance. I said, I have no burial plan. I said, I'll just pay you as the best I can." He said, "Carl, I wasn't even going to mention the thing. I'm not even worried about it. I'm not going to lose no sleep over it." And the Lord paid the bill. That's the kind of confidence He's got. And the reason is because you all are wonderful. Your love, your support, I couldn't thank you enough. Is all I can do is try to live for God and be a little minister among you the rest of my life. Because I can't thank you enough for what you've done.